Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we're only going to get probably down to about the seventh verse today, but I'm going to read the chapter. I want you to hear the full chapter, so please follow along with me. And Matthew chapter 28, beginning to read with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and to earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the music this morning, the beautiful, beautiful hymns, the special that was sung, the special that was played, for the fellowship downstairs, for the wonderful food that you've blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for this family. Now, please, that you will guide and lead us. And as we've come together now, we've come to hear your word, and we've come to know you as our Savior. If we've never taken care of that, what a great day to trust in you. But be today. Today is the day of salvation. And so please, Father, touch all the hearts that are here that have never come to you. They believe there's a God, believe even in Jesus, but they have never come and invited you into their heart. So please, today be that day, that their life be made new, and once each day they continue to grow as they study your precious word. And Father, just help us all to rejoice, those of us that have been saved for many years. Each day is a day of the resurrection, and so please just guide and lead us and touch our hearts today, and we'll wait to hear from you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We tend to put it aside maybe of our mind something that is the greatest event of history. And it wasn't the death of the Lord Jesus, it was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so for that great doctrine, we need to stand on it, preach it, live it, and know it. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was not only the greatest event in history, But it was the greatest thing that could ever happen for you and me, because by Jesus raising from the dead, being raised from the dead, means we will also be raised from the dead. And so what a promise. What a glorious, glorious promise. Psalms chapter 16, verses 8 through 10 tell us, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved, therefore my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What a promise. What a promise. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus lives in the heart of every believer, every person that's come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trusted in him. Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit lives within your heart. And so Jesus is here. And so what a tremendous day that is, the day that we meet Jesus. But also what a tremendous testimony of the resurrection is that very fact, that we know Jesus as our Savior and know that he has risen from the dead. This first verse here, in the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, you realize that no human being, there was no eyewitness of the resurrection of our Lord. We don't even know the exact moment when he was come out of that grave alive. We know that it was between sunset on Saturday night and sunrise on Sunday morning. All mortal man was able to see was the empty tomb. The empty tomb, when they would come and they would see the grave cloths laying there. And please, again, come Wednesday night, because we look at all these pictures and all these things that we see that prove that he has risen from the dead. The proof begins with the empty tomb. 3 days and three nights, his body lay in the grave. And then that third day, he came out of that grave alive. You know, religions and traditions tell us that he died on Good Friday. That's when he was crucified. But the word tells us 3 days and three nights. And my friend, what Jesus says, Jesus does, Jesus did. And we need to know that. We find his resurrection to be in the end of the Sabbath, begin to dawn towards the first day of the week. The end of the Sabbath. To every Christian, that day should be the greatest day ever in history. It is the greatest day ever in history to all the world. But when the world rejects such a gift, it means nothing to them. But to a Christian, to a born-again believer in Christ, when they found that tomb empty, early that Sunday morning. What a glorious day. What a victory. What a victory. Not only is this such a wonderful day in history that should never be forgotten or never will be forgotten, also it's the end of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was abolished by the resurrection of Jesus. There's not been a Sabbath since. Some people try to move the Sabbath to Sunday and say, this is the Sabbath now. No, it isn't. The Sabbath is abolished. We don't have the Sabbath anymore. As long as we're in this dispensation of grace, this time of the church age, there will be no Sabbath day. We worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, because that's the day they came to the tomb and found it empty because Jesus had risen from the dead. That's why. As it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, the scripture tells us, again, somewhere just before sunrise, Sunday morning. Mark tells us it was very early. Luke tells us it was very early. And John says, when it was yet dark. So you see, we look at all four Gospels. We find the one that was coming was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. If we bring all the Gospels together, we find Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, mother of James and John, and Joanna. That's who we find recorded was with Mary as she come to the tomb. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that the woman brought sweet spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Mark 16 tells us as well that as they come, they had some concerns. How are we going to roll the stone away? It's a great stone. They saw the stone before when the body was laid in the grave. How are we going to roll this great stone away? Well, the Lord took care of that. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. God takes care of it. We worry about so many things, don't we? We worry and fret. Even these women, they had a lot more to worry about than they realized. If Jesus was dead. If Jesus was dead, there was no hope. If Jesus was dead, there was no life. And yet, what were they worried about? How are we going to get this stone rolled away? You see, we sure focus on things of this earth a lot more, don't we? We should be looking at things heavenly. We should rejoice and praise His name. After 3 days and three nights, Jesus awoke from the sleep of death. And some believe when this angel came down, it was the earthquake that assisted him to move the stone away. That angel could move anything he wants to move whenever he wants to move it, so he doesn't need to have help of an earthquake. You ever thought about that's when Jesus awoke? That his whole earth shook. 3 days and three nights. Sad statement. The world cheered at the death of Jesus. The world cheered. The world rejoiced. The world trembled at his resurrection. We'll find that down in verse 4. For fear the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Jesus was not alone. We find in the verses here as we read down through the first and second verse. Again, in the end of the Sabbath, it was begin to dawn towards the first day of the week, and came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. We look back at that second verse. Not only did that angel come to roll the stone away, Jesus could have rolled it away from the inside. Jesus could have thought it moved. But he used an angel from heaven to come down to do it. But his job wasn't done when he'd rolled the stone away. He sat up on the top of it. He just sat up on the top of it. It's as if he's saying that this stone will never be rolled back over that door again. You see, when Jesus died and was laid in that tomb, there went sin and death and hell, everything. And he gave us victory over it. So that angel sitting there and saying, you can try if you like, but this stone will never be rolled back. G- Jesus rose from the dead, and he conquered not only the world, but the flesh, the devil, death, and hell, and he conquered the grave itself. So you see, that stone will remain open, never to go back over there again. And again, since he is risen, rest assured that all saints, all born-again believers, will also follow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jim said he listened to this morning on the radio program, and he enjoyed it. Well, we're going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 15, the 12th verse is where we'll start, and we're going to go down through verse 26. So several verses, but please, this beautiful message we need just to take our time with and enjoy today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Listen very carefully. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now if is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus is risen from the dead. We have a wonderful promise that we too, as believers in Jesus Christ, will be raised from the dead. We don't have to worry about that grave. We don't have to worry about death. We need to be excited, looking forward to it. We were singing those hymns, the one right before the offering and the second hymn that we had sung this morning. And I'm in my mind, I'm going through it. Which one of those do I want sung first at my funeral? Because I want people to rejoice and know that I'm not staying in that grave. And what a tremendous hymn to sing. The only thing is, on that second hymn, you better listen, because you may hear me from heaven. I don't know that I can let you sing that by yourselves. What a beautiful hymn. What a powerful, powerful hymn. He is risen. He is the first fruits of them that slept. What a promise. The Word of God is always true. And we need to search it and know it and study it and have comfort and hope in it. And not be as these women, as they were coming to the grave to finish preparing the body for its final burial. They didn't realize. If he's dead, if he is there, everything is gone. Everything. Everything. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, You don't have any hope. We find as they were coming and they found the stone rolled away, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Normally, the word countenance, you think of his face, and I always kind of focus on the face, but they said this word means the whole body. And so when they looked, and his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, it refers to the brightness and the shining and what a beautiful picture we have here. His raiment white as snow, and white is always a symbol of purity and of innocence. And this brought a result to the Roman guards. Scared them to death. They fainted. I guarantee you all the things that this Roman guards, the Roman soldiers have seen in their lifetime. Things that they would do to abuse people and murder people. And the more that it tormented somebody, it seemed like more joy that these soldiers had. It didn't bother them a bit. They were so cold and so hard. And so, for one little angel, other scripture says two. What happened to these guards? For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Did you ever think about it when the women got there? Were these men still laying there? I don't know. Doesn't really give us that close of a timetable to whether each one of those paths crossed or not. But it doesn't say that the women were startled when they saw the two guards laying. They just found that the tomb was empty. The other Gospels tell us so clearly that they go running in to the tomb. They don't just stand outside in fear. They go running in to see because they want the testimony and they want the witness. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You ever wonder what the day will be like? This was an angel. Do you ever wonder what the day will be like when Jesus returns? If an angel scared these two guards enough that they passed out, what's going to happen to the wicked man that's refused Jesus Christ when Jesus returns? You think about the fear that's going to come upon them when that day comes. The hearts of the lost will just literally melt in fear when Jesus comes. We find in verse 5 that the angel answered and said to the woman, "Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." See, even the angel, through the ability of the Lord, had knew that these women weren't coming to harm the body of Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. Soldiers, in the fourth verse, for fear, the keepers did lay as dead men. But the words from the angel to the women were just the opposite, because you see, they came seeking Jesus. In those words, they were told to fear not. The angel quickly tried to reassure them. And if we look back to the Gospel of Luke, and please turn with me, if you would, Luke 24. Some of these verses of scriptures you just have to see. Luke chapter 24, verses 2 through 6. It says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. They were seeking the dead. That's what we do. We spend more times with this old earth and things. They too were seeking the dead, even under these circumstances. They went to the graveyard. They went to the tomb. What do you find at the graveyard? What do you find at the tomb? You find dead men. But instead of finding the dead, they found the living. And they found the tomb empty. So you see, even though we're dead in our trespasses and sins, if we're seeking, you'll find. It's just that simple. If you're seeking, you will find. They come seeking the dead. And yet, because they were seeking, they found the living. They found the Lord. He is risen. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said. He said it. You heard it. That's what he's saying. Why didn't you believe it? Why didn't you believe it? What do we believe? Do we believe the precious word of God? Do we know the word of God? Do we spend time searching the word of God and studying the word of God because we know this is God's living, precious word and we want to know all about it? How many times do we say we believe the Bible? I hope you do. You see, that's how I got saved. That's how I got saved, because when the question was kept being asked that you need by faith to trust in Jesus, you must ask him into your heart. And I kept reading those verses back in the book of Romans, and we'd read and you know, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. It just kept going over and over. And you know, even though I wasn't saved, and even though I was raised in a very liberal church that didn't believe the word of God, for some reason, God allowed me to say that it's got to be true because it's in the word. I believed the word. I didn't know what was in it. Is that the way you are? You say you believe it, but have you read it? Have you read it from cover to cover? Have you studied it from cover to cover so that you know what's in it, so you can be excited and have the hope and the promises? You know, we've had something going on in our Congress in just the last few weeks here that everybody's upset about. They've passed a bill they say they haven't read. But you know what? We say we're Christians, but we haven't read this thing. What makes us any different? If we're so excited about being a believer in Jesus Christ, why don't we spend time knowing it, searching it? Because I guarantee you that this book is true. And not because I say it, because it's the Word of God. We need to stand on it and be sure of it. Enjoy it. Walk each day with it. Most folks are satisfied to say, I believe it, and they don't know what's in it. Oh, the rewards that you'll receive, that I receive when I learn more about Jesus. And it's different than any other book, because any other book you could read it once, glean most of what was in it, and then go on to something else. But you see, this book is alive, so it changes. It changes. Jim asked me, he said, you do that new program for Easter Sunday morning this morning? I said, well, I have to look for sure, but I think it's about 8 years old. About 8 years old. People all the time are saying, boy, the program on the radio was just great. It just hit right where we are today. You really hit it. And sometimes those messages, depending on which program, which station's on, it could be 10, 15 years old. But you see, it doesn't matter. It's God's living word as it touches our hearts. And know for sure that every prophecy in this book will be fulfilled. And one of the greatest one that was fulfilled when he died and rose again. And every time you find in the Word of God, as he said, know for sure. Now, past this then, we find here that in the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where they laid him. And then in verse 7 it says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Doesn't get any clearer than that. I want you to come in and see that the tomb is empty. And as soon as you see that, then I want you to go quickly as you can and tell everybody that you see. You see, when we really get a hold of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to be excited about telling the story. And it wasn't just the empty tomb. I mean, it wasn't long, and come Wednesday night, you'll see it wasn't long. They ran into Jesus. They ran into Jesus. They talked to Jesus. And there was multitudes that saw Jesus, talked to him, not to mention the other Old Testament saints. So many of them had come out of the grave and they were out walking around. What a day. What a glorious day. We sing these hymns. I hope they stir your hearts. I want to take a hymn book home with you so you can read the words. Those beautiful hymns. Up from the grave, he arose. Beautiful. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for your power and your strength. I just ask you, dear Lord, that you will stir our hearts and have us be students of your word. We have the teacher. The Holy Spirit is within our hearts as a believer, and so all we need to do is open your word and begin to study it and search it. And then when we come together as a family, we can discuss what we've learned and what we've seen and what we've found out. And, oh, God's shown me this, and he's given me power and strength to do that. We want power for victory. We'll find it in your precious word. That's only available, Father, we know, to a believer, not to someone lost, just to somebody that is saved. But my dear Father, wonderful, wonderful that there is no one exempt. Anyone and everyone can come. Please, awaken the hearts of the believers that we begin to tell that story. Bring us to that empty tomb and then show us that he's alive, because Jesus within our hearts shows us so clearly. Help us to be proclaimers of your great truth, that gospel. He's alive. I know he is. Some will believe and some won't. Some will stay close because of a power and strength that God gives believers to walk each day, wisdom maybe that they have or something that you've given them, Father. But some will believe and begin to serve and praise. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Again, thank you for the fellowship downstairs. Thank you for all the music. We just thank and praise you for the day that you've given us. Now, please speak to hearts as we sing this closing hymn of the service, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.